Good morning. My name is Karen, and we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Very good. Thanks, Karen, and thanks to everyone else who's got us to this point in the service through the ways and many ways and means in which you serve. So, my name is Ryan, and it's my job to walk us through this little part of the Bible this morning. So, having had, as Mike said, the weekend off from this series over Easter, we're launching back into it again, Sermon on the Mount. Like I said, week 2? No, that's meant to be 11. Week 11. So, yeah, before the Easter weekend, we remember, we just finished with chapter 5. We've just finished with chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. This week, and for a bunch more weeks to come, we're going to dig into chapter 6. But to help us get a good understanding of the text today, we would do well to look backwards a bit and also look forwards a bit. So looking backwards, we see that chapter 5 outlines God's righteous standard for us to live by. It shows us who Jesus is. It shows us how he lived. And then calls us to be like him. The radical way of life, the incredibly high bar to live up to. Jesus did it. And we are called to follow him and be like him as best we can. Not to like earn our place as his child, but because we are his child and because we want to be like him. And then look forward, if you've still got your Bible open, look forward to the first part of chapter 6. We see Jesus anticipating that when we seek to be like him, our heads will swell. That his followers will want to do all that as his followers, we want to do all that he has asked us to do in order to cultivate an image, to maybe make ourselves look good. But Jesus anticipates this. He anticipated our pride. He anticipated that it would get in the way of following and living like him, which is why we see what we do in chapter 6. There is a notable shift, right, between chapter 5 and 6. There's three acts of righteousness that are highlighted, one after the other. And in all of them, Jesus is crushing our pride because he knows that we will gravitate towards that when we follow him. When you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast. Did you notice also, as an aside, that these are all assumed in the life of a Christ follower? When you do these things, don't let your ego, your own desire to be liked or to be approved by others, don't let that be the motivating factor here. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about you looking good or playing the part well. It's not about looking good. It's about being good. It's not about being noticed by others. It's all about being noticed by God. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to step through each of these three things: giving, praying, and fasting. Today, we're going to look at giving. When we give, we tend to love being noticed by others, don't we? When we give, we tend to even congratulate ourselves and think highly of ourselves in our own minds. Jesus knows this. He anticipated this, which is why he teaches us this. He teaches us that instead of following our default setting, our sinful approach to giving, praying, fasting, whatever, we should instead follow him and his approach. Jesus shows us that when we give, it should only be for God. Not for anyone else's praise, not for our own ego, for him and him alone. So firstly, let's explore our desire to be noticed by others when we give. We can't avoid it, I don't think. It is who we are as people. We want to be noticed. We want to be liked. We want to be thought of well by others. And when it comes to giving, we're really no different. We want to be noticed. I suspect even there's a reason why Jesus teaches about our motives for giving first. Because giving money away is an incredibly hard thing for us to do. We like to hold on to our money, don't we? We like to keep plenty of it saved and stashed away. And if we do want to spend money, I know it's a Dutch church, if we do want to spend money, it's often on ourselves and on those who we love, isn't it? We don't typically like to let it go. We don't typically enjoy watching our money disappear or dwindle away. We don't typically like to see our money used on things that don't directly benefit us. Money, wealth, possessions are very hard for us to manage. Very hard for us to manage in the way that Jesus wants us to do anyway. Which I reckon is why Jesus tackles it first. He says this, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Again, just quickly, it's worth noting that assumption. Again, Jesus is making the assumption here. When you give, not if, when you follow Jesus, you will give to the needy. Now, if giving something that you are seeking to do as a follower of Jesus, great. If it's not, please take it seriously. Explore, think, pray, talk to someone about it. Think about how can you give and who can you give to? So again, talk to someone. Maybe it's me, maybe it's someone who you know in this church, whatever. Talk to someone about this. Pray about this. Ask about it. Giving is a great thing we can and should do as Christ followers. Make a plan to make it happen if you don't already. So, back to the text. Jesus says that we should not announce our giving with the blast of a trumpet and to make a big fuss about our giving so that others will notice. I don't know about you, but I don't literally blast a trumpet when I give. In fact, I can't even manage a squeak out of one. I tried back when I was in school. Apparently my lips are the wrong shape or something. Anyway, so what Jesus is doing here is he's probably capturing a bit of a scene from one of the many Jewish festivals that happened back in the day, right? When the trumpets were literally blown as people approached the synagogue to give. So while we don't literally blast a trumpet, we can and want to be seen, don't we? We want to be noticed when we give. The same lesson applies to us today. How much do you and I give simply to be seen and noticed by others? This question seemed logical for me to ask myself and in this situation. And I thought about this for quite a while. Now, I know Pathway is not perfect. But I really don't really ever hear or see examples of people blowing their trumpet about giving here. Help me out here, without mentioning names or specifics, what are some ways, shout them out, what are some ways that we like to give, even you know, as Christians we like to give, to be seen by others, subtle ways and not so subtle ways, help me out. Doesn't have to be seen here, it could be hypothetical. Serving? How so? Oh, yeah. Yep. Maybe helping in a particularly public event. Yep, for sure. What about other ways with giving and time, money, whatever? We're pretty crafty, us humans. We can come up with some very subtle ways of doing it. Any other ideas? Not putting anonymous on a donation. Yep. Sometimes that can't be avoided, but yep, absolutely. What about when you say things like, I don't know if we could really afford this. Like you're talking with friends. I don't think I could have really afforded this, but we gave anyway. Who's that magnifying here? God or the person who gave? The person who gave. There's lots of little ways that we as Christians can do this. However, again, Pathway isn't perfect. Let me get back to my notes here. Pathway is not perfect, but this church is an incredibly generous church, and we consistently punch above our weight when it comes to giving financially. Our giving is strong. And as a church, we seek to be more generous than what actually makes sense on paper. And I can't really think of a time when I thought of anyone blowing a trumpet when they give. So I was challenged with this, right? So I often read the Bible to challenge myself, asking God to show me where I fail, wanting to be better. Here today, though, I think we can take a slightly different approach. In fact, a very different approach. It is simply this: be encouraged and keep doing what you're doing. Giving is a hard thing to do. And when we do it, so much of us wants to slip it into a conversation or a prayer point, yeah? A subtle hint that we're being generous. There are boundless ways we can want the praise of others in the way that we give, many of which we just don't see here at Pathway. Again, we're not perfect. I'm not being prideful or boasting here, but I do want to encourage each of you. You give. You give faithfully to many things. The work of this church, the work of missionaries overseas, Christian charities, local gospel organizations, and more, without making a fuss, without seeking to be seen and noticed by others. Praise God for you and the culture that we have here. This is living like Jesus. He healed people, he helped the poor, he fed the hungry, and often told people not to tell anyone. He didn't come looking for an applause or to be noticed. In fact, he often walked away from the crowds. His aim was always to do his Father's will. Be encouraged, Pathway, and keep doing it. Keep giving generously and keep it quiet. Don't be tempted to blow your trumpet. Don't be tempted to be seen by others as generous, because that's all you will get if that's what you do. The applause of people will fade. People's compliments will be forgotten. Your status among others as a generous person will not be remembered for eternity. The full reward of being praised by other people is very, very limited and very short-lived. And that's all you will get if that's what you seek. Seek not the rewards of others. Seek God's reward. What is God's reward? We'll get there in a bit. But before we do, let's look at this whole left and right hand thing. So I think we not only want to give to get noticed by others, but we also like to notice it in ourselves too. We tend to think of ourselves as pretty good, right, when we give. While we may not seek the praise of others, our own minds can do a wonderful job of self-promotion, can't they? Which is then why Jesus says, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Kind of weird, impossible, but don't think to yourself, how good I am for giving this much to whoever it is I'm giving to. And now this is something that we can't sort of necessarily see in others. This is something that we each need to stop and reflect on personally. Because the loudest applause often happens in our own minds. David Guzik from the Enduring Word commentary, good commentary if you need it, it's online, it's free, enduringword.com. He says this: our giving is to be, if it were possible, even hidden from ourselves. Though we cannot really be ignorant about our own giving, we can deny ourselves any indulgent self-congratulation. Another guy, a little bit older than him, Charles Spurgeon, he says, keep the thing so secret that even you yourself are hardly aware of it, hardly aware that you're doing anything at all praiseworthy. Let God be present, and you will have enough of an audience. To illustrate this a little further, I've got a fun little story for you. I didn't write this story, but I found it, and it's quite confronting and captures this idea of not knowing what your left hand is doing, your left and right hand are doing. I hope there's no Geralds in the building. I don't think there are. No one saw Gerald drop the envelope into the offering box at the back. He didn't want them to. That was the point. He walked back to his seat with a sense of calm, like he'd done something right. Something good, faithful. The sermon began, but Gerald wasn't really listening. Instead, he was quietly replaying the moment in his head. The envelope, the drop, the quiet nobility of it all. And he imagined God smiling, maybe even nudging an angel. Look at that. Gerald's heart's in the right place. And just like that, the applause began. Not from the pews, not from the pulpit, but from inside. It wasn't loud. It was just a quiet, gentle, inner pat on the back. You did good, Gerald. You're one of the faithful ones. Have you ever thought something like this to yourself? I give more than that person does. Or that donation is really going to make a difference. Or maybe I've given more than they realize. And this church or this organization, they're so lucky to have me as a donor. Does your left hand really not know what the right hand has done? Or does it throw a party when you give? But again, look at Jesus. If anyone had the right to feel proud of what he did, it was him. Yet Philippians says he made himself nothing. He took the form of a servant. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. When we compare our motives to Christ's humility, it's humbling. When we give, our desire should be that it is done in secret, not to be seen by or for the praise of others, not even for self-congratulation, in secret. For the audience of one, that one is not seen and often not literally heard. But the reward from him is eternal and far greater than any reward, any applause, any ego trip could ever provide. God himself will reward you for your generous and your humble heart. Which takes us to the last thing we're going to cover this morning. What does it mean to be rewarded? Oh, this slideshow is all wrong. Sorry, I just realised that. Just disregard it. Turn it off. I've completely lost it. What does this mean to be rewarded by God? It says in the Bible, in that verse that Karen just read for us, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So to help us just to begin to get a bit of a grasp on what a reward from God is, allow me to sketch out another bit of a scenario. It's a little obscure. We love them though, don't we? But I hope we can tie it all together at the end. I need your help though. Please raise your hand if you love art. My hands are down. All right, I'm going to pick on someone. Dana, we're going to pick on you. All right, so Dana and I, we're going to an art gallery together. What's your favourite type of art, Dana? Is it like painting or pencils or sculpture or something? Sculpture, okay. This is good. We are not compatible, which is great. So Dana and I, we're going to some art museum which has a special display of sculptures or something, whatever. I walk past a piece of art and go, that's okay, I guess. It's kind of weird. But I can see some time and some effort went into it, right? And I move on. This is my standard approach to visiting an art gallery. I'm in and out very quickly. I just don't care for it that much. However, when Dana, when she goes in, spends a lot of time just simply looking at the art. Soaking it in. I'm told this happens. I don't know, but I'm told it happens. Soaking it in, enjoying it, appreciating the intricate detail that the artist has put into the work. For Dana, the visit to the art gallery takes a lot longer than it takes me. The reward, right, for going to the same art gallery, very different for the both of us. My reward was a wasted Saturday afternoon. And I did not appreciate anything that was put in front of me, except the exit door of the art gallery, because it meant it was over and I could leave. Dana's reward was a deep appreciation for the work that was done. Dana's reward was a deeper appreciation for the artist who did the work. We both went to the same place. We both had access to the same place. We both saw the same things. We both got very different rewards. As Christians, we all have access to God through Jesus, right? As Christians, we all read the same Bible. However, as Christians, we all have different depths of understanding, different depths of relationship with God, which lead to different experiences and depths of fellowship with Him. Someone who approaches the Christian life like I approach an art gallery misses out on so much. I put no effort into understanding artwork. I don't care about the artist or what they're really trying to do or communicate. And I get very little reward from it. It doesn't move me like it's meant to. However, someone who approaches the Christian life as Dana approaches an art gallery gets it. They desire to know the artist more. They desire to know God. They want to know what the artist is communicating, right? They want to know what God is saying in His Word. They, as an art enthusiast themselves, then seek to apply the same level of detail and technique in their own artwork, in their own lives. Both Dana and I get to go to the art gallery. But Dana leaves that gallery changed, challenged, encouraged, rewarded. Not with a gold star or even like a come again next week for free or something, nothing, but with a deeper appreciation, a deeper understanding of the artist, a deeper connection with their work, a deeper appreciation of the details, more love for art and more love and passion to make the same kind of art in their own lives. And the reward I got? Very limited to my understanding and appreciation of the art. The reward Dana got was a deeper appreciation for the artist. In a weird sort of way, and probably there's heaps of holes with my terrible analogy, this is kind of what a reward from God is about. A deeper knowledge, deeper love, and a deeper presence of God in our lives. The reward from our Father in heaven is not a high five or a pile of cash. It's more of Him in our lives. And that doesn't just happen. Like Dana has to study and apply the artist's skills in their life, we too, as Christ followers, need to do the work. We need to put into practice how Jesus has told us to live. Not to get our ticket to enter the art gallery, but to appreciate more the work within it. The reward from God for giving generously and quietly is more of Him in our lives. More of His joy, more of His presence, more of Him. Jesus promises that God will reward those who give to the needy. I'm very aware that this could be the part where the prosperity gospel preacher might say, "Give to the church, give everything, and God will bless you while I fly around in my jet." We do not subscribe to that way of thinking here. No way. We subscribe to the Bible. And when Jesus says we will be rewarded when we give to the needy for God, when we give to the needy for God, we will be rewarded. Not with more money, not with more stuff, something far, far better. More of Him. That means even when we seem to be unappreciated by others, when it seems that God doesn't even care that we've given to someone in need, when our generosity seems to go unnoticed by all, even then, Jesus' promise of a reward from God is a promise. God has never broken a promise. You will be rewarded. Rewarded with more of Him in your life. The question is, do you want more of Him in your life? Give. Give financially to good gospel-centered causes. Give to people in need. Don't do it to promote yourself. Don't do it to promote yourself among your friends or even promote yourself in your own mind. Do it quietly for the audience of one. Do it for God. There's another quote here from a guy called Kent Hughes. Men who do work so they will be seen by men receive the applause of men. Those who do works for God's glory receive God's smile. The reward for the latter is overwhelming and always will be. Even though we might feel unappreciated, unnoticed, or overlooked, we can rest in the truth that our Father sees. And He delights in. He delights in our quiet, our humble and faithful generosity. Keep giving to the needy. Not with trumpets and fanfare, not with self-promoting thoughts, but for God and His glory alone. The reward is here and now and will later be great. The reward now is more of God, more of His joy, His presence, His peace in this life, right here, right now, and for all eternity to come as well. And this reward is only available to us because Jesus Himself made it possible for us to receive it. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet He, for your sake, became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich." Now, this is obviously a whole sermon in its own, but just capture, hang in there. Rich and poor here, it's not about money. It's about Jesus giving everything to us who have nothing to give in return. Jesus gave to the needy, not for applause, not for His own ego trip. He gave Himself fully for God. And He gave all of Himself for the needy. We are the needy, and we need Him more than we know. Jesus calls us to live not for the applause of others, but for the joy, not for the joy of being seen and loved by others, but for the joy of being seen and loved by our Father. And here's the amazing part. We don't need to do this to prove ourselves to earn His love. Jesus already lived the humble, obedient life that we can't. He did it all for us. He gave to the poor. He prayed in private and ultimately laid down His life for us, the needy, not for the spotlight, but because of His love for the Father and for us. Through His death and resurrection, we get to be with the Father. So, when we serve quietly or give in secret, it's not about chasing a reward. It's about living as children of God, trusting that He sees us. He knows us and He delights in us. All because of what Jesus has done. Let's pray. God, thanks again for the reminder of who it is we seek to serve. It's not our friends, our family, or those who observe us. It's not even ourselves. It is You. Lord, please help us to remember this as we go about our lives from here on in. So often we seek the approval and praise of others in our lives. We're so quick to feel unappreciated, unrecognized, and overlooked. Please forgive us. Forgive us for our boasting, our bitterness, our pride. Please forgive us for our self-promoting attitudes. Forgive us for seeking the praise of people. And we cast ourselves yet again at the foot of the cross, where all Your sin was taken from us and given to Jesus. We thank You that because of this, we can be and are forgiven. Forgiven for our lack of generosity, our poor attitude toward it, and every other sin under the sun we commit as well. Jesus, we thank You. Lord, in response to this loving kindness and enormous display of generosity, may we too be people who seek to be generous, who seek to give quietly, humbly, and lovingly, all for Your glory and Your glory alone. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, worship teams, and lead us in another song.
Challenge, isn't it, to live so open-handed and open-hearted trusting in God, not for ourselves, but for Him. But, you know, it starts with saying, all right, Lord, it's your will. Your will be done. And I need to turn my piano on.